Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nice catch by Goddard, who breaks the tackle across the five. Touchdown!
Goddard, beast. He beasted him. He catches a simple flare pattern out into the flat, Merrill. And the cornerback is there, and he just beast modes him, pushes him in the face, not once, twice, and into the end zone.
You know, that play by Dallas Goddard.
Sick.
And credit to Hurts, by the way, for recognizing what was going on and flipping it out to Goddard. That was well done. And I thought a really tell sign of blitz by the other team. I mean, I know sometimes guys can drop out, but they had everybody at the line of scrimmage. I'm like, all right, well, fair enough.
There were seven guys at the line of scrimmage, and it was flat.
It was
so
yeah.
Normally, you would have some depth to a defense right. Where you got, you know, one, two, three, four guys on the front, and then linebackers maybe 5 yards, 6 yards behind them.
Yeah,
so they can scrape.
Here's what I thought, John.
Uncovered.
If I'm the D coordinator, I'm mad at my players for making it seem kind of obvious.
Put up signs next time.
But that's the point. The point was you show blitz. Like if they didn't want to show blitz, they would have disguised it and gotten to it a beat later. That was a blitz look.
Yeah,
that was Jalen saying, okay, we're going to do the bubble to Dallas Goddard, and I know they're coming. And you could see it affected the throw a little bit. He knew they were coming. It wasn't a great throw, but he got it out and did the rest.
Terrific recognition by Hurts and phenomenal. That play by Goddard is tailor-made for the Bat of the Bone Award coming up in about half hour. I mean, that was, you know, that was badass.
Trying to tell us who to pick?
I'm just saying, I think he'll be one of our four selections, but we'll find out. All right. Let's get to the injury report. NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report. Every Monday morning, we talk to a NovaCare doctor, in this case, Dr. Dinesh Dhanaraj. He is an orthopedic surgeon with St. Mary's Orthopedics in Langhorne, specializing in joint prevention and cartilage regeneration and repair, and he joins us right now. Good morning, Dr. Dhanaraj. How are you, sir?
Good. Good morning to you all. How are you all doing
today? Fantastic. Happy to see that win by the Eagles. Not happy to see the N'Kobe situation. So we don't know what's going on. There's only two things we know for sure. One, he got hurt, and two, we left on crutches. But whether
and it looks like a big contraption on his leg.
Well, yeah,
too,
that whole thing.
With the crutches.
And they carted him, the whole thing. All right. So
whether
it is a tear or a sprain, we don't know. Tear, obviously, he'd be out. Let's talk about the possibility of a sprain.
Sure.
Did you notice anything on the play, on his reaction to the play? Did you notice anything that could denote that it could be a sprain? But
it could be a sprain of the ACL or the MCL.
Yep.
If it's an ACL, we know that he can't play with that. Is there a possibility this is an MCL and this is something that he could come back from next week?
What'd you notice?
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching him tackle the guy. He has his legs out in front of him, kind of. Then he spins around. He actually bends that left knee and kind of starts to try to get up. That's where it stops. But absolutely, from that play, it's hard to say. It could have gotten tweaked underneath him as he spun. It could be very well that full-blown ACL. But it could have just been a kind of a pivoting moment at the knee that causes an MCL. So when a player is playing a sport, number one, feels or hears a pop, two, and then number three, is unable to continue playing. Unfortunately, those three signs, there's like a good prognostic value that's 90% chance it's possibly an ACL.
Mm.
Now, I've seen plenty of people out there who feel or hear a pop, and it's something else. It could be a grade one MCL. As we put it, if you feel that pop and you're like, oh, something popped, but it's your MCL, you can brace that. And if it's a grade one MCL, like just a partial stretch, you can play within, 2 to 4 weeks, bracing and getting it kind of just optimized. And then you would obviously play with the brace. It's a fast timeline.
Coach, Doc. I've seen guys play with that, brace it up the next week. I've seen guys go out there the next day and practice with that. So we are talking about superhuman expectations for return to play here. Is it reasonable to expect if we hear back that this is just an MCL that he could play against whoever it is on Sunday.
Even next week, I mean, yes, there's a possibility being that, you know, these guys put their bodies on the line and they're forced to do things that are, you know, what we call super physiologic in terms of superhuman. You know, somebody mentioned it, also patella dislocation. Patrick Mahomes had one of those, looked pretty bad. And once it's back in, if there's no overt damage to the knee after an MRI, hypothetically you can play off that too. So those are best case scenarios. And obviously we worry about the ACL and, you know, pray for the news on the MRI.
Yeah.
Well, that's so I guess we find out when we find out what the MRI says and go from there.
Yeah,
We also saw Darius Slay leave and return, but his elbow seemed affected. He's got a compression sleeve on it. What's going on with that?
Yeah, it's hard to say. Whenever he's tackling or even falling on it, there can be a couple things. And if you tweak the ligaments, just like a knee, you can have these sprains. You know, it's not as problematic as you're not running and putting weight on your arms. And you can use a compression sleeve. The other thing is a contusion. I think, you know, Love had that a week or so ago, and where he fell on it, had trouble feeling the hand. It's almost like that funny bone feeling when you hit that ulnar nerve and that whole arm can go numb, kind of feel off, you know, get him in that locker room, get an x-ray. If it doesn't look bad and he's moving the elbow, get him back in.
Doc, let me ask you one about Brandon Graham here. So the longer the Eagles stay in it, the more I think, well, maybe he can get back out there. When we've had him on the show, he has not shot down the possibility of playing. He's not exactly...
He's a little cagey.
Yeah, he's not exactly saying it's likely, but he's left the door clearly open. How wild would it be, whether it's the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, for Brandon Graham to play after tearing his tricep, I believe it was in, I think, late November?
Late November. I mean, 6 weeks, you know, is not unheard of. And that is kind of getting into the playoff season. It's not unheard of. It's pretty darn quick. And it depends on the type of treatment. You know, so if he's resting it, you know, usually these guys have surgery on him if it's worth keeping him out, you know, just to optimize the function. But that would be a fast recovery, 6 to 8 weeks at the fastest.
If a player was thinking of retiring, which obviously he may be, would it be more about just how you play in the game with the injury? And, like, it wouldn't matter if he gets, but, like, injured again if he's never going to play again. You just rehab it in your retirement. I mean, is that a factor here, so to speak?
Yeah, I guess it would be. I mean, leave it all out on the field one more time, I don't think it's unheard of. Because, you know, yes, if it re-tears again, you can repair it. And that's about, you know, the most, you know, troublesome consequence. But I would say if the Super Bowl's on the line and you could play and give it your best shot. And that depends on if you're functionally, you know, at that level at this point. You know, you were out for 6, 8 weeks.
I got to ask Seltzer a question. Seltzer, Brandon Graham at 50% or Bryce Hoff at 100%? Who'd you rather
have? You know how many snaps Bryce Hoff played?
I don't
Take
know.
A guess. One.
Seriously, I was joking.
He played one snap yesterday. So, yeah,
I'll go BG, 25%.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely.
Hey, Doc, wonderful work, my man. For more information about Dr. Dinesh Dhanaraj, get yourself to trinityhealth.org. That's trinityhealth.org. Thanks, Doc.
Thank you.
Good work, my man. And let me remind everyone, like we did last week, because when we give away the tickets to an Eagles game, it's not just in the regular season. It's also in the postseason as well for an Eagles home game. We will give away a pair of tickets Friday at 8 o'clock to the Eagles versus, well, we don't know yet, either Minnesota or Los Angeles. These tickets will be given away courtesy of a contest over the next couple days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, listen at 8 o'clock. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, listen at 8 o'clock. Know the four names that are set at that time, and you can win the tickets Friday at 8 o'clock.
These tickets are kind of a big deal, courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
And we don't know who the Eagles will play, but we do know it will be Sunday at 3 o'clock.
I love a 3 p.m.
Yeah, it's a good time. It's a good time. It's good stuff.
Second down. Hurts. Drops. Steps up. He's looking. He's rolling. He's back. Still looking. And he is firing for the end zone. Touchdown! Wide open. Touchdown. And it goes to Johan Dotson.
Well, it was quite a way for the Eagles to start the game yesterday. I mean, a turnover 5 seconds into the game.
It was the anti-Ron Dixon.
It was the anti-Ron. Good call, James. I hadn't thought of that. Holy hell. Do you think they got it right or wrong, the replay booth on the review?
Right.
I thought they got it right.
I agree.
It was close. Yeah. And here's why. The Eagles player, I think it was Trout Jr., that had his arm in there. I thought he had his arm in there enough that you could make the case the other player didn't truly have possession of the ball. So it was close. I mean, the guy clearly had the ball more than Trout Jr. did. But he, you know, Trout had his arm in there and was able to yank it out and, you know, away you go. But it was close.
I like that they let him fight it out.
Well, so it's a tricky one because there's the way it normally gets called, and then there's probably the letter of the law. I mean, if you have possession of the ball and you're down and you're touched, you're tackled. I mean, that's the rule in the NFL. But did he 100%?
Really.
I know it, not really. They never.
That's not how it is.
I know it's not. But anyway, it was
seriously
something.
Man. It's you go get that thing like you're a rabid dog because there's no rules under there, and just like there's no rules the last play of the game.
Hail Mary. Yeah.
Every coach I ever had told the defensive guys and the offensive guy that they usually put back there to defend, whoever, you know, like Gronk was back there once upon a time.
I remember.
For the Patriots, they would put him back defensively.
He gave up a touchdown one time. Remember Miami had that play. And
anyway. They got crushed for that.
Couldn't defend. He couldn't move laterally.
Wow, that was...
Because it wasn't a Hail Mary. It was like a regular play, and he couldn't cover the guy.
Wow. Because it was at the end of the road for Gronk, and he looked so
lumbering,
out of place as a defender.
All right, so look, congrats to the Eagles. They get yet another win, so they're now 15-3 this year, which is just freaking ridiculous. Defense obviously carried the water yesterday. They were tremendous. I thought Jalen was pretty rough. He should be better the next game because it's hard to be much worse than he was. Look, he didn't turn it over, but he struggled. I was disappointed the Eagles didn't lean on Saquon more in the first half. I wanted them to. It didn't shock me that they didn't. This was a formula game by the Eagles. Saquon with 9 touches in the first half. We'll load it up in the second half. That's their mindset. And they did. And look, to their credit, they pulled out a win with that style. Now, I think they play with some fire, but they pulled out a win. You do want to see, though, as great as a 12-point win is, I mean, it's half, you know, it's not hefty, but it's not 3-point win.
You'd like they doubled the line, you know, so it's, it's a solid win.
Right, solid win. But you'd like to see when you get a 4-0 turnover differential, you'd like to see, you know,
a little bit more
distance in that score. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Bad to the Bone Award coming up shortly, plus Ray Didinger today at 7:55. Let's talk to Jason right now. Jason, good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Jason, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Good, sir.
I'm just all over the place with Jalen. Jalen is like, it's really frustrating. Like, I don't know, like, I know how football goes. There's a thousand ways to win, but quarterback play is top tier, and handing the ball off 20 times is not going to get it for us. Yeah, Saquon is our ultimate back, but we're going to have some shootouts. Detroit can score. Minnesota can score. Whoever we play, I'd rather not play St. Louis L.A.
Yep.
L.A. because...
Well, I'd rather play the Rams. I think they're a lesser team than the Vikings. I don't know how good the Vikings are, but I feel confident the Rams aren't that good.
I am confident that the Vikings' defense is, with Flores as their defensive coordinator, they are going to light it up more than the Rams would, meaning they're going to blitz us more.
Yeah, and the Eagles handled the Rams this year, right?
They won that game pretty convincingly. We ran the ball a lot against them.
We'll do it again.
I don't worry about beating either team, but I do think that from what we've seen this year, the Vikings have been able to be more formidable, like as an all-around group, you know, offense, defense, coaching.
No question.
And I think their record clearly reflects that. But the Rams have been good lately.
Yep.
And they've got good coaches, too.
Yep.
Tonight, I can't wait to watch, but I do expect that the Vikings are going to be the better
team. Jason, I understand your concern on Hurts. I mean, I think they can win a Super Bowl with him playing this way, but they also might lose it with him playing this way. I mean, they play with fire when he plays with fire like this. That was rough yesterday.
Yeah, I'm trying to lean on the fact that he was out, but... It's like this has been an ongoing issue all season.
Of course.
So I don't think it's going to change like within. But as far as the L.A., my thing with L.A., I just think they have top-tier coaching. And like with top-tier coaching in the playoffs, they're going to put together, they're going to be prepared.
Maybe. I mean, listen, maybe. I'll tell you this, Jason. I know we don't know this Vikings coach as much because, you know, he hasn't been around as long as McVay, but looks like he's a great coach.
He's a McVay disciple.
I mean, guys,
same school.
He went 14 wins with Sam Darnold and the Vikings. Like, people were wondering in the offseason.
Sam Darnold.
But Sam Darnold. I know.
Remember, Sam Darnold got good at quarterback because he's been around for so long.
That's part of it. That's part of it.
Requires experience and rep after rep after rep. He sat in so many quarterback rooms just watching game film, watching tape, having these concepts inculcated into him.
Well, there was natural talent there also. That's why he was the third pick in the draft.
Of course. To him
he's the SC quarterback.
I agree with that.
But the fact remains, he is older, he is more experienced. I watched Rich Gannon, a guy who was a backup in Kansas City, for a couple of, couple of seasons.
Well, Gannon was a backup for about 10 years. This one's not quite that crazy, but it's close.
In Kansas City, it was like a fight between him and Elvis Gerbach as to who was the better quarterback. Once he got to us in Oakland. Yeah. My gosh, he won the MVP.
But my point is, that was all
35 years old, and he'd been around the game so long as a backup that he learned how to read it out better.
Yeah.
And it takes that long, in many cases, for these quarterbacks to really get comfortable. And even when they're comfortable, you can still get tricked by good defenses. That happens. You got to give credit where it's due.
All right, Bad to the Bone Award. We do it every Monday at this time after a game. Well, when they lose, it's blame balls. And we haven't had many of those this year. We've had a lot of the variety we like, which is Bad of the Bone Award, game balls. John Ritchie, who are you handing a game ball out to for yesterday?
Does it get old when I give it to Saquon all
Boy,
the time?
I don't think he should be number one. And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve consideration, but I'm shocked if that's number one. Go for it.
I love, once again, that we did not abandon the run. Saquon with 25 carries. Wow. 25 carries, two catches. That's where we need to keep it. 25 carries, two catches, 27 touches.
25 or more is where they need to have it.
I need more. That up there. And he was sprightly as all get out yesterday. Still, you could see at the end of the game when he went down on that final run, there was a lot left. He is raring to go.
Yeah.
Tearing into this postseason. I'm telling you, Saquon has a lot left in that tank, and he showed us that. In the way that he played, but still 4.8 yards a carry is lower than what we've seen before. That's a big reason why I'm so encouraged that they stuck with it. In the past, once upon a time, that would have been in doubt. It is no longer in doubt. We are a running football
team. All right, so I had three people for Bat of the Bone Award. I really wanted to get one of these three, and Saquon was not one of them. And he probably would have been my fourth choice. But, James, I know I got a juicy answer coming up, but let's see what you got next.
Yeah, I'm excited, too, because I had one clear winner, and then other guys I was deciding between. But, I mean, the defense won them this football game. We mentioned him before. I thought Nolan Smith was the best player in this football game.
No question.
He was awesome.
No question about it.
And if you had asked me before the season, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, who's going to win your first Bad to the Bone Award for the first playoff game, I wouldn't have guessed to be Nolan Smith. He was freaking awesome.
And let me just say this, a quick addendum to that. So sometimes injuries happen in football, and it's like kind of, there's always a certain degree of bad luck, but sometimes it's just like a misstep, okay? Nolan Smith jacked that offensive lineman up. Like, he injured that guy.
The guy didn't return.
No, I know, and the guys that were playing instead stunk. Like,
four offensive holding penalties.
Nolan Smith, I'll just say this real quick before we get to Ray's Bat of the Bone Award. Nolan Smith in the first half had a phenomenal special teams tackle, knocked out one of their offensive linemen, had a sack, and a phenomenal run stuff. A lot of people would probably forget, but he had a great, great play run defense, taking on a blocker and chopping down a running back. Like, and then,
by the way,
that was all just first half.
The strength that he displays, that's what's crazy. And his ability to get low, part of the ability to win that one-on-one matchup is just leverage and, the physics behind that. The ability to be that strong, and it's like man strength, combined with his ability to get low and underneath people, some of the moves, some of the tackles that he made yesterday were almost like wrestling, like takedowns, and they were so precise. It's artistic.
It's really
the
amazing.
Way he plays defense.
His growth has been incredible.
He is the youngest player in Eagles history to record multiple sacks in a playoff game. the youngest.
You know, it makes sense because it's hard to do two or more when you're, he's probably 23 or 24. All right, Rhea, what do you got here for Bed of the Bone Award?
I knew James was going to steal my Nolan Smith.
Yeah.
So Dallas
Goddard.
I thought
Richie was going to steal it.
Yeah,
so
did I. So, but Dallas Goddard, you know, because I sit on that side of that stiff arm was an absolute thing of beauty.
Double stiff arm.
Double.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was like, I was like, Dallas, that man has a family. I mean, it was just, it was nasty.
Well, especially when they needed someone on offense to step up and make a super, you got a ton of superstars on the offense, and you need someone to make a superstar play, and Goddard was the one who stepped up.
So I thought there were a clear top three in this game, and two of them have been said. Nolan Smith and Goddard. Yeah.
Is it Zach Bond?
No.
Wow. Because I would have put Zach Bond up there, too.
No, I'd consider him, but I got someone above him for the purpose of yesterday. Vic Fangio.
Okay, that's fair, yeah. I mean, it had to go defense.
They played a playoff game and gave up 10 points. You know, I mean, Vic Fangio, this is one of the great coaching performances I've ever seen in Philadelphia sports.
In a turnaround from one of the 100%, worst performances
100%.
We've ever seen.
Yep, look, credit to that guy. Now, obviously to the players. Bunch of guys play very well. I thought it was unfair to CJ GJ yesterday during the game when Fox put up a graphic of the additions since last year.
And they didn't include him?
And they didn't include him.
Wow.
And it's like, come on. I mean, what are you on account? But obviously Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, CJ GJ, and Zach Bond have all been remarkable additions. And then you flow that into Jalen Carter taking it up to star status.
Jalen Carter once again. Yeah. There were plays yesterday where, and again, it's the same with Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith just overpowering people with that leverage. It's power that's low. It just looks so much different. The way you're coached to play football is the way they're playing it, and they're doing it so consistently. That knee bend, that low man wins concept. Jalen Carter beating the guard with just explosion and then getting into the backfield and completely obliterating the back. Like, basically running over two guys at the same time is magnificent to watch.
Yeah, it's really
and
cool.
He does it consistently.
Yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere because 3 months ago we kind of all had the guy buried, and now he's like a forceful player. And I do agree with Ree. I thought he was the best player in the game yesterday. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Obviously a bummer to see N'Kobe Dean get injured. We await the news. I would imagine we'll find out today or tomorrow. Maybe not till Wednesday because the Eagles take some time sometimes to tell you
or they never
report.
Tell you.
Yeah. And then Nick will tell you at like 11 o'clock on Wednesday. We'll let you know in a couple hours when you see the injury report. It's like, all right, we'll find out. But look, solid win. Little bit of an adventure. Little bit of a high wire act. Still won by double digits.
A playoff win. Like playoff win. Let's not take those for granted, man.
I mean, we went.
You mentioned the 06 win before. Uh-huh. I mean, like that, for a home playoff win, what we go from 06 to 17? Right?
From 2000, well, home, yes. But
I'm saying a home playoff win that long, and we've gone years without playoff wins, what, like 13 to 7, or I'm sorry, 08 to 17.
To 17.
So, like, let's not take it for granted. A playoff win is awesome.
I hope Jalen plays better. I do think the Eagles can win a Super Bowl with Jalen playing like this. Can, because of the greatness of the team around him. But it sure would make it a lot easier if he plays better. And when you see Baltimore and you see Buffalo, and then, you know, teams like Detroit and Kansas City haven't had to crank it up yet in the postseason, those are the four teams that you really say, one of those four teams or the Eagles probably going to win the Super Bowl, right? It's probably going to be Kansas City, Detroit, Buffalo, Baltimore, or the Eagles. Probably going to be one of those five. And the Eagles certainly have, I don't know if I'd say as good a shot as anyone because they don't have home field advantage, but it's damn close. It's damn close. They have a legit shot. I just want to see Jalen do better.
Absolutely can win the Super Bowl. And Jalen can be one of the reasons why, because what he brings outweighs the perfect passer concept that you're looking for. You know, I don't think you can have it both ways where you say all week long, I want him to run. I want him to do it this way. And then after the game, you say, I want him to pocket pass, because that's
But when I say run, I'm not saying like miss receivers. I'm not saying that. And you know I say run because I think he's not very good in the passing game. I mean, I believe that. But anyway,
and
look.
What makes you, well.
What makes me convinced? The whole season makes me convinced.
And you have no idea. Like
I've got a pretty good
this
idea.
This guy is truly a weapon that changes the numbers on the field.
He does that,
and
no question.
We are taking advantage of the fact that we have an extra guy offensively every snap because of his skill set.
Now that helps.
And that outweighs the ability to sit back there and diagnose every defense.
But you would agree,
he's seen every defense,
would you agree,
like a Tom Brady as a pocket passer.
Would you agree he was well, well below average in the passing game yesterday?
I would say he was rusty and sluggish, and I was told he was not going to be rusty and sluggish because they practice at such a high tempo, but you just can't get the tempo right in practice. And you saw that in the game. He looked sluggish. He looked slow at times getting through that progression.
I'd buy it more if he struggled early. He was 6-for-6 and then didn't complete a pass for I don't know how long.
Well, again, that's rhythm. Yeah, they talk about rhythm.
Well, if he's in a rhythm, he's 6-for-6. How'd he get out of rhythm?
It was kind of rhythmic.
It was 6-for-6, and all of a sudden he couldn't complete a pass.
Because it
and one
changes.
You know, Rhea, my theory, doesn't throw other passes he should.
You know, every series every series is different. Like, every series has its own tale to tell. And, yeah, you can get out of rhythm after you've been in rhythm just like anything
else. I don't
think
Moore helped him with that river, John.
No, I agree with that.
I didn't like the way he called at all. I mean, I was screaming, like, throw the ball at some point.
Well, you know, my theory, just run the ball. That's what I call it. 75 runs, zero passes with this team. All right, Jan, I'm joking. James, true or false, I said it earlier, true or false, this statement. If the Eagles win the Super Bowl, Jalen is closer to Trent Dilfer than Patrick Mahomes. True or false?
So only because I think Mahomes is so far up. Like, I don't think he's close to Dilfer. I think that's unfair. I think he can make a lot of plays that Trent Dilfer can, and he does.
Well, he does.
Third and long, those type of things that Trent Dilfer didn't have in his tool bag.
So let me just say, let me just say one thing before. I'm not obviously talking stylistically.
I get what you're saying. Okay. I'm saying he's a way more effective quarterback than Trent Dilfer. And I think that we are basing way too much. The guy didn't play for 3 weeks. He was rusty yesterday. Like, we know Jalen. Like, whatever issues people have had with Jalen this year, he's not that bad.
He's not that bad.
Like, he will be better. It's like, I think we're way overreacting to a game where he didn't play for 3 weeks. Like,
he's not
way
that
overreacting.
Bad, but you're going to say Dilfer.
No, I said
should be ashamed of yourself.
But I didn't say Dilfer.
Yeah, you did.
I said closer to Dilfer.
Come on, man.
I didn't say he's Dilfer. I said
you should be, really, that
you
is
think
way
he's,
too
you
far.
You think he's closer to Mahomes?
Way too far.
I don't know, man. I think they...
Yes, the offense is built around his skill set, correct?
Yeah, but they dragged...
That offense built around Trent Dilfer?
No, but here's the thing. The Eagles didn't win yesterday.
And by the way, I lost to that defense.
Because of him.
That defense.
We all know what that team
was.
Not
the offense.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I thought they dragged Jalen across the finish line yesterday. I mean, to me.
And you're wrong.
Well, the defense carried the day. They carried the water. They carried the whole stadium yesterday. Let's go.
And
the offensive line. And the offensive line gave him. Hold on. He's still looking. He's looking. He's got 70 seconds to throw the ball in the first touchdown.
6.5 seconds, I think, before he threw the ball to Dotson.
You know, there's more than the offensive line to a reception also. I can tell you, like, watching, the receivers have to do their thing, too.
Yeah, well, Dotson did a nice job juking right and going left.
But there's a lot that goes into the passing game that's more than just Jalen. You know,
well, of course.
Everything has to work together.
Yeah, but
they did not work together. We know that for a fact.
Yeah.
They didn't even practice during the week, AJ and Jalen, together, because he was in the protocol.
Yeah,
I expect it to look so much better. And the fact that AJ got one catch for 10 yards, you're holding that against Jalen, I guess.
Well,
Jalen's numbers will look completely
different. Certainly not AJ Brown's fault.
When he throws to AJ Brown 9 times in the first half in this next game,
well,
whoever it is we play against.
I hope that doesn't
and he
happen.
Has 2 touchdowns.
I hope that happens, but just run the ball a lot. I mean, there's a reason they run the ball 65% of the time. It gives them a better chance to win. Let's go to the phones. Derek in.
That gives every team a better chance to win.
No, it doesn't. It's not
running
accurate.
The football?
You think
running the football does give everything a better chance
65% of the time?
If you're good at running the football.
Correct. Come on. All right, Derek and Paoli. Derek, what's up, buddy?
Good morning. Yo, you got to be better, man. You got to be better.
Don't talk to Richie that way, man. That's not nice.
I'm thanking Richie for bringing some real substance in the morning, man, because it's like, I feel like with Jalen, you talk about him like it's personal, right? So all last week, we all was saying, we was all concerned about him being rusty. He hasn't played a stat since. Y'all had the exact date, the exact amount of throws, what time he got tackled, right? And then he came out, and he was rusty, right? Just like everybody predicted. But now we sit here complaining And I think he will.
Yeah, but Derek, you're missing my. Hold on, Derek. Hang on. You're missing my broader point. I don't think he's that good. I do think they can win a Super Bowl anyway.
Though, how can you predict the game, though, Joe?
How can I predict the game?
Because you think.
Yes, it's all based on we think. We don't have a mathematical equation here. There's no 1 + 1 = 2. Everyone just formulates their opinions based on what they see and says what they think.
Yeah, but I feel like when you say what you're saying, you feel like there's no end to it. It's like I said it, so it's going to happen. I thought Jalen Hurts, he was rusty, right? The offense looked whatever.
He was also gutty.
He was gutty too.
Well, he's always gutty. I don't take that away from him, but he wasn't good yesterday.
Yes, he was good yesterday.
No, he wasn't good.
I'm not saying
he was not good yesterday.
He was not great yesterday.
Because they won the game.
He was not good. It's okay to say he wasn't good yesterday.
Derek, they won the game because of their defense.
He had to do well.
He had four.
He will be much better in the next game. He wasn't great in this one. It's okay to say that.
I agree with that, James.
He was not great. I just said he was good.
He wasn't good. He was at best average.
You don't know what
I would say below average, but he was
unbelievable to me.
Say it again,
you can assess this like this. His job is to get the team in the right play every single snap. And he did that. That is the biggest part of his job, to get the team in the right play at the right time. And that's not easy when you got a defense trying to trick you every single look. They're stemming before the snap.
That's part of the job.
Yes.
So to be effective in the passing game.
Yes.
And he was horrendous at that.
And did they call it to be effective in the passing game?
Yes, they didn't call it to be ineffective.
They called it for us to run the football to win.
Yes.
And the passing game, the way it was called, I don't think.
But it's not a throwaway, John.
You're not trying to not get yards on it when you throw the ball.
It's not rhythmic. It can't get going. That's what he talked about after the game.
But it's not rhythmic because he's not very good at it. That's why it's not rhythmic.
Come on. Because why?
John, he has a tremendous offense.
He didn't turn the ball over.
Right.
He got into the right plays. Yeah. We were told when they showed blitz looks, he got us out of the play and into a proper play to score a touchdown.
That was a terrific play. I have acknowledged that.
Okay. No, you didn't.
No, I did. I said good job by Jalen.
He did a good job. Not a great job.
He was bad. He was bad.
He was rusty. He will be better. And I'm thrilled that this next game, when AJ gets the ball thrown his way a ton early, he'll probably have a lot to show for it. And then you will say, AJ and Jalen had a good game.
Here's what I'm
finally AJ and Jalen can connect in the passing game. Of course they can.
Well, I know they can.
This is a big part of the way our offense works.
Here's what I'm thrilled about. In addition to that, the Eagles won and are still alive and have a great shot to win the Super Bowl. What I'm thrilled about, is they have a great enough team that they have a great chance to overcome Jalen's deficiencies. That's what I'm thrilled about. They might win the Super Bowl even if he plays like that. Yeah. Let's
and
go to the phones.
You don't understand the deficiencies or not. This game was a display of some good decision making by Jalen.
There was some.
There were mistakes also.
There was a lot of that.
There are a lot of mistakes when you play quarterback in the NFL. And you look around the league to the other young guys. Look at the young guys.
Tons of guys struggle. There's no question.
It's especially hard this time of year. Defenses ratchet it up. They throw everything and the kitchen sink and new looks your way. So young guys especially, they're seeing looks they've never seen before. They're seeing stems before the snap they've never seen before. It takes some work getting through that.
Well, he's in his fifth year. Look, yesterday's an example of why I say...
The older they get, the better they get because the more they've seen.
Okay.
And he hasn't seen it all yet. That's okay. What he brings, just by his very presence and skill set, is we have an extra guy on the field every time we take a snap. That's better than what the... That's, in my book... I'd prefer that over a guy who can drop back and tell you exactly where to go with the ball the instant he needs to.
I disagree.
As a pocket passer.
I disagree with that.
That is, I guess that's the root of it.
Well,
I'd rather have Jalen and an extra guy, 12
guys.
There's
very few pure pocket passers these days
look
anyway.
Like
Mahomes isn't what you call
exactly.
a pure. I mean, he moves around.
Well, look at the way the league is working.
I know.
This. Having an extra guy in your offense matters more than having a guy who's perfect dropping back as the pocket guy every time.
Well,
This is the way the league works now.
Yesterday, to me, is an example of when I say Jalen is somewhere between the 7th to 10th best player on the offense. That's an example of why I think it's true. Let's go to Will and Logan. But they're so great, they win anyway. Will, good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing? How you doing?
Doing great, man.
Hey, so listen, Joe, I got a question for you. So,
yes, sir.
Listen, I have no problem, with you critiquing Jalen. You know, he's a big boy. He's a quarterback. You know, he gets paid. But my question is, why don't you critique Sirianni the same way you do Jalen? Because to be honest, I mean, it's not like Nick.
I think Sirianni's better at his job. I told you that early in the season. I think Sirianni's better at his job than Jalen is at his job.
How can you say that?
Because it's just an opinion. I mean, so let me ask you a question, Will. Who do you think's better?
We have faster back.
Hold on, Will. Jaylen. I'm just asking you a question. Jalen or Nick, who do you think's better?
Jalen.
Well, how can you say that? I mean, we have opinions. We see things, and then we form opinions.
No, but I have facts. I have facts.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so Nick has had probably the most talented team in the league, and by far the most talented Eagles team.
Yeah, it's been incredible. He's had a big advantage there. Yep.
Right, and prior to this win, his record in the playoffs was 2-3.
I know.
So he hasn't had this big successful. He hasn't had a playoff win only one time. In the playoffs, he's been in the playoffs 3 times.
No, I know what you're saying.
Jalen too, though, right?
No, same thing.
Exactly
the same. They're aligned. They're now both 3-3.
Okay, but Nick has had way more talent on, like, far as a team whole.
Well, Will, to be fair, that
Nick
talent
has had to change the offensive coordinator every year.
He sure has, Will. But that talent you referred to, a lot of it has been through the years, not so much this year. I mean, this year,
if Nick would have done his job to the fullest of his abilities and been the offensive coordinator and play caller, we would have the same offense for the last 4 years, right?
Well, I don't know about that.
I think the quarterback the same offense for the last 4 years would be head and shoulders ahead of where Jalen is now because of the familiarity and the understanding and the complete comprehension of this language.
I don't know about that, but you know, Will, look, obviously people are very split on Jalen. We know that. And less split on Nick, but still somewhat split. I mean, we know that. These are facts.
But also, too, I think you look at Jalen and you say, well, you know, he doesn't throw the ball like a traditional quarterback. But does Nick coach like a traditional coach?
Of course not.
I mean, we give him all this praise, but what has he done really?
Let me answer that question. I think Nick has a great, and appreciate the call, Will. I think Nick runs a great culture. I think the guys play really hard. I think they know their role and play to it. I think he's had to deal with the A.J. Brown thing a few times when A.J. gets frustrated. But for the most part, the players are dialed in. They play very hard. I think they play smart football. And I think he manages a game in a very, very, very effective way.
Nick gets tons of criticism. I mean, we've crushed him.
No, there's no doubt about it.
It's not like Nick kind of skates by.
No, listen, I mean, there's no question. And we all know.
I think Nick is skating by to some degree now.
I don't.
The success of the team, no one's blaming him for anything.
Just said the success of the team. What would you be blaming him for if they're being successful?
I don't know.
Successful?
Is he perfect?
But perfect never came out of our mouths. I mean, it's just a matter of
expecting perfect from the quarterback.
I talk on here 20 hours a week. I've never said, quote, I expect the quarterback to be perfect.
Well,
I've never said that.
I can say that feels like the expectation because you point at each
that's
mistake.
How you're, that's all saying you what, but it's not
mistakes.
Just Joe. Like, yeah. I think there are a lot of people, him. John, who didn't think he was good enough yesterday. Like, a lot
of
people.
Well, he was good enough, but he wasn't good.
Right. He wasn't. Yeah. A lot of people think he wasn't good yesterday. Yeah. And I am fine with it. I thought he was rusty. I think he'll be much better next week. But, like, it's okay to say that they won even though he wasn't great yesterday.
They won primarily because of the defense. I mean, guys, the defense is getting shortchanged in the last 15 minutes here.
They're amazing.
They won because of their defense.
They won even though he wasn't great yesterday. What is?
Well, it sounds
what,
like
how
you're,
is that different
it sounds
than
like
what
you're,
I'm saying?
Well, I think you're propping him up more than he was yesterday. I mean, I think you have a sense that he was better than we think he was, but that's fine.
I think he got us in good place.
I thought he was bad. I thought Jalen Hurts was bad yesterday.
Looked rusty.
And I think
the touchdown to Dallas Goedert was
a good, very good play.
Fortunate that Dallas was able to make that catch.
I give
it was
Jalen
a great job getting in the right play.
I agree.
But it was a mixed bag. It was a mixed bag of a game. But the bottom line is that mixed bag still netted a win.
I know.
That mixed bag, this is playoff football. Holy cow. I saw other quarterbacks get completely dominated by the schemes that were put before them. And this staff and this quarterback did a nice job of preventing that from happening. Like, we had a great plan. I don't think that we executed it the way that we needed to, in part because of Jalen, but in part because Kellen Moore did not give him the chance to get that rhythm back. After the first six plays, it felt like things languished.
The mistake,
and
I think,
like
Kellen Moore
got away from Kellen Moore and Jalen.
Look, the thing I think Kellen Moore messed up. Now, he didn't mess it up enough that they lost the game because they won the game. I just would have liked to seen Kellen Moore give the ball to Saquon Moore in the first half.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I needed.
It would have been helpful. And I think also just rhythmic plays. You know, when Jalen's talking after the game about not getting into rhythm early enough, part of that is it was go for the gusto, go for the throat. We're just going to step right back in and pick up where we left off with the passing attack. You know, maybe going for the gusto isn't what you need when you want to get a quarterback back into just feeling like he completes everything he throws.
Maybe.
Sometimes the short stuff, the quick stuff, the designed stuff to a back, you know, to Saquon, where you give Saquon an option route. You isolate him against the linebacker with the personnel and the formation. Plays like that in the first 15, the halfback option or the tight end option. You know, that play that he called to get into, the bubble screen to Dallas Goedert, because it was blitz. Let's just get the ball to Dallas in other ways, right from the line of scrimmage, the looky route, the stick route. Easy 6-yard things that are, you know, they're a gimme.
Yeah. The only problem with the quick thing, in my opinion, is it's what Jalen's worse at.
We never run the
quick
thing.
It's what Jalen's worse at.
Never, he's not into it.
He's not good quick trigger on it. So
what do you mean he's not good? We don't see it.
I think that's why they don't call it much. Unless it's a screen. They just, you know, and I'm saying wide receiver screen.
I don't think they do enough of that stuff.
All right, so Ray Dittinger in 5 minutes. Let's give you a chance to hear how it sounded here on WIP yesterday. Merrill and Mike on the call. Then we'll get to the A.J. Brown book thing. Phone calls on all these topics. And phenomenal job by the defense. And it started with a defensive sort of play, a special teams defensive play, if you will, right in the beginning of the game. Let's hear the Merrill montage. We're gonna need a montage.
Ooh, it takes a montage. Elliott hits it. It is high. And Nixon takes it at the goal line. He's out to the 5, 15, 20. And he does not reach the 30. He is hit hard.
Ball came out.
The Eagles having a turnover on the very first play of the game. How about that way to start the game? Up the middle he goes. He's at the 25, 20. Down to the 13 goes Saquon Barkley. What a start for this football team. Hurts. Flops. He's looking. He's rolling. He's still looking. And he is firing for the end zone. Touchdown! Wide open. Johan Dotson. Low. He looks, going deep down the far side of the field, and it
Slay
is
took
incomplete,
it.
And Slay it is Slay.
Took it.
Slay.
Big play, Slay takes it away.
Back goes Love, he's looking, he has time, he fires, and it's intercepted by Bourne. Bourne at midfield, Bourne runs out of bounds at the 45, Zach Bourne, first team All-Pro. Hurts, fires, complete, wide open, Smith, 40, 35, that's more like it.
Yeah,
Hurts,
there it is.
Rolling left. And firing to Devontae Smith for a big pickup right there of 28 yards. He is going to throw. He does in the flat. A nice catch by Goddard, who breaks the tackle across the 5. Touchdown, Goddard.
Beast. He beasted him. He catches a simple flare pattern out into the flat, Merrill. And the cornerback is there, and he just beast modes him, pushes him in the face, not once, twice, and into the end zone.
Love that. He is going deep downfield, and it is intercepted! Intercepted! The first interception of Quinyon Mitchell's career.
How about that? It's the fourth takeaway by this defense on the night.
Hurts gives it to Barkley, and Barkley plows forward, and there's 100 yards. Again, it goes to Barkley, and again he breaks. He's at the 40, and he falls down. He could have taken that home. He was out in front of the world. He could have taken that to the distance.
Yes.
But he said, I will do the gentlemanly thing. I will fall down and run at the clock. It wasn't the best game the Eagles ever played, but it was a very solid win.
All right, Eagles get the win. Congrats to the Birds. Third win in the Sirianni-Hurts era. And obviously on the next week, which if you don't know, it was announced late last night, will be Sunday at 3 o'clock. Divisional round of the playoffs here in Philadelphia coming up this upcoming weekend. Sunday at 3. Now, we don't know who they're going to play. It's either going to be Detroit. It's either going to be Minnesota or the Rams. That game later tonight. Big advantage for the Eagles. They face a team that will have one less day to prepare and have to come across the whole country.
Yeah.
So that's a big advantage. Sunday at 3.
I can't believe they set it up like that. With the Monday game, it really seems like a major
disadvantage.
Point. I would be upset.
I agree.
I'm upset.
I agree with you on that.
But they still have to play.
Especially if you're Minnesota, having gone 14-3. Wow. That's wild. All right. Ray Dittinger in just a second. Let's listen to A.J. Brown, what he said after the game about the book.
Yeah. Is there a certain passage that you read from?
Yes, I always revert back to like the beginning of the book. It states, if you can just have a clear mind and let me see, what did it say? If you have a clear mind and remember that, nothing else matters, clear mind and clear consciousness, and, you know, nothing matters, negative or positive. You're willing to take risks, you know, and I go back to it, and it also says, if you're humble, you can't be embarrassed. So no matter what happens, like in the game or whatever happens, you know, I'm just going to just stay free, you know, play free, you know, keep going, take risks, you know. So
were you frustrated when you were reading the book?
No, I was not frustrated at all. I figured that's what y'all probably thought. I wasn't frustrated.
Why y'all always think I'd be frustrated? I read the book. Yeah, I like to read.
Well, I think the answer to that question is because you had one catch from 10 yards and you've been frustrated before. But, you know, who am I to answer that?
All right. Had a book. I mean, that is weird. It's a weird thing to have on the sideline.
All right, so three different Twitter poll questions today, all brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Equinox. Remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. First poll question, was AJ Brown out of line reading a self-help book during the game, yes or no? It certainly helps that it was a self-help book and not, you know, some other book. Second poll question, who would you rather see the Eagles play, the Rams or the Vikings? Third poll question, Sixers thing, we haven't talked too much about it. Obviously, it's a big topic, though. We'll get into it more in future days. We asked this question today, which of these is your main reaction to the news that the Sixers will stay in South Philadelphia with a new arena to be built in the early 2030s? Is it A, this is good news? B, that the Sixers' approach to this whole process was annoying. Or C, credit to the 76ers for being a good negotiator. I think all three things are true. Which one hits you the most? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter.